November 3rd, 2013, afternoon service. Today we are going to read from the Psalm 31 of David. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me again and guide me. Lead me and guide me. You might wonder why he is so desperate for God's help here, but if you study the life of David, you would know that the first crisis is King Saul was after David's life. The king went all over the nation trying to kill David. And David went to cave trying to hide, and there was a time when Saul also entered into the same cave David was hiding. But in the end, his prayer was answered as he prayed, "Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me." David was blameless but was being persecuted. I am not sure if any of you have experienced this degree of danger and persecution. I hope not. But even so, the Lord can deliver you out of the situation as he has done to David. That's why his faith in the Lord became stronger, since he saw God's hand delivering him out of all the troubles. Verse 3, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." This "for the name's sake" is mentioned in many places throughout the Bible. The word, the name, Israel, contains the name of God, and the name is everything. The word or the name, Christian, also bears the Christ in it. Because we bear the name, we are being rescued. That's why we are not Buddhist or Muslim, but we call ourselves a Christian. And there is a time that God chooses to reach out to us because of the name. For example, when I was younger, I used to work at a trading company in Roppongi, Tokyo. And since it was in Roppongi, I used to see a lot of celebrities on the street. Anyway, at work, I have to write many letters in English using the company's letterhead. And there was another employee who was always teaching me and correcting my English. He did that not because he wanted to teach me, but because it was embarrassing for the entire company to send my letters with full of mistakes. So he always checked my English before the letter went out, and my English improved because of that. That is the meaning of "for the name's sake." Because of the letter bears the name of the company, written on the letterhead, coming from the company, certain quality was required. The same thing with God. We bear the name of Christ, and God has determined to guide us and keep us because of the name. That's why people who followed Christ started being called Christians, says the Bible. The name shows that we belong to Christ. So I want you to be confident in your relationship with Christ because of the name. That's why David says, "For your name's sake, lead me and guide me." So we should pray this way. We make many mistakes, but we are also guided for his name's sake. For example, for this book publishing, a thought, an idea of newspaper did not leave my mind for a long time. So we look into the paper and we found the price of the book promotion in the paper. But the cost was too high, but I was still thinking about it. So we tried again, and things somehow worked out, and the book promotion ran in the newspaper last week. And we also received orders by fax, as well as complaints. But God guides us every step of the way because of his name. And although we have no experience in publishing, we are doing very well, and we are even known, or rather, become notorious in the editorial department of the newspaper. When we call them, they immediately know who we are, or maybe one day we become famous in the publishing world in a positive way. The verse 4. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Please do not write it off thinking that this situation is irrelevant to your life. When written in the Bible, there's always an important lesson for us. It is not like we literally fall into the pit when we walk on the concrete pavements, or we literally get caught in the net like fish. When you read the Revelation, there are pages and pages that mention of Babylon. Babylon, the name has a meaning. And there's a trap, a net, in which many Christians are caught without even knowing it. The more is explained in the book of Joshua, where Achan's sin is described. This was the time when the Israelites were winning battle after battle, bringing down the city of Jericho, and was about to go fight against the city of Ai. They thought they could win the battle in their sleep because their army was a lot smaller than the Israel, but they lost the battle miserably because of Achan's. Achan had hid Babylonian robe, gold, and silver under the tent. So the lesson is that if we do not obey God, you cannot even win the smallest battle. So as we are entering the era of Revelation, there is a net set before us from Babylon. So what is this net? This is a fake Christian-like teaching. They have the communion and all the right things that look like legitimate Christian, like Benny Hinn. But as long as there is the robe, gold, and silver from Babylon hidden under the tent, you cannot win the battle because of the curse. You can sing out loud for the victory and the blessings like some Korean churches here, but you will never obtain the real victory because of the trap that you don't see. So the prayer like the verse 4 is so necessary for you to be free from it, even when you don't see that you are trapped. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. As you know, a trap or a net is not made publicly known. They're always hidden. Even a stupid bird does not get caught in a trap when the net is prepared in front of his eyes. It is all done in secret. The verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. If you think this verse is not for you because you don't pray for Buddha statue anymore, you are mistaken. Idol worship could mean worshiping and having faith in people too, like worshiping Pope, whose words are not aligned with the Bible. Yet many Roman Catholic people choose the Pope over the Bible. If you choose one, you disown another. When the Pope said the evolution theory is very scientific and the Genesis only a myth, we are asked to choose what we believe in. But those who worship the idol will be put to shame and will not gain the eternal life. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief, and my ears with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side, while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. As you see, David was persecuted in many ways. This persecution happened to Jesus too. They put him on trial and judged him guilty unto death. When we do the work of the Lord, the Bible says that we will be hated by some of our friends, acquaintances, and even our family members. David was nothing but loyal to King Saul, but Saul tried to kill David. Jesus went around healing people and trying to bring salvation to the Jews, but the Jews demanded Jesus to be crucified. Same as Paul. He went around synagogues and preaching the gospel, and many Jews went after him and tried to kill him. So you see that when you do the work of the Lord, persecution is expected. So if you look at it with the human perspective, we want to do our best not to cause troubles with other people or agree with everything they say to keep the peace. But that is not what Jesus did or Paul did. And there will be a time that you will face persecution brought upon by your brothers and friends. We need to expect that. I experienced some of that too at a previous church. I did not agree with their belief on Christ returning twice, and I got kicked out. But we all enter kingdom of God after much persecution, and the narrow is the path to heaven. So if we give up the way because of sufferings, that shows the degree of your trust and faith in God. The Bible also says that many abandoned Jesus. They followed around Jesus for a while, but they did not want to continue the journey with him because of the troubles. They did not pass the test of faith. Verse 15. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. This expression of placing our time in God's hand appears many times in the Bible. Look at John chapter 7, verse 8. Here Jesus says, "Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come." But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 18, "And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." They're preparing for the last banquet. Here, my time means my life. In this psalm, David says his time is in God's hand. We all need to know that everything comes to the end. Everything comes to an end, including our work for the Lord. In Japan, our life expectancy is getting longer, male reaching their 70s and female into their 80s. But the life expectancy is different from the time ordained by God. Jesus died when he was 33 because it was his time. We do not die by accident. We all die when we decided by God, whether we are young or old. And when we are pursuing the work of the Lord, we can sense when we are approaching the time ordained by God. Jesus knew it, and Paul also knew it. Paul said to the elders of Ephesus that he would never see their faces again. He also says in other places that his time to give up his life was approaching. He knew when he would die as a martyr. It does not matter whether we know our time or not, like Jesus or Paul. But what I want to say here is that when we are doing the work of the Lord, and if it is not our time yet, God will spare your life even when we face extreme danger. It does not mean that we should do dangerous things recklessly, but as long as we are doing the work of the Lord, we will not die by accident. Enemies would threaten us in many ways, but we should all know that our time, our life will be safe until God says it is our time. But what we want to avoid is to become overly protective and not risk anything at all and not do the work of the Lord. So please do not let the fear and the danger stop you from serving the Lord. Verse 16. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of men, you shall keep them secretly in the pavilion, from the strife of tongues. Here are more of the bad things that would happen when you're doing the work of the Lord, but in His goodness, we will be protected when we fear the Lord. Verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for He has shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. David was surrounded in the city, and he thought he was cut off from God, but God ended up rescuing him again. I think as we approach the era of dispensation, more and more Christians might feel this way, that they are cut off from God. I believe Job said the similar thing in chapter 42, the hopelessness the Christians might feel in the dispensation period. This is only a confusion planted by Satan. Jesus even said, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? So He is warning that many will lose faith because of the hopelessness planted by Satan. But God always came to rescue David. But we also have to be firm in our knowledge that God always comes through. So when we are doing the work of the Lord, do not see the negative aspects of it, but continue to seek what God is doing in our lives through all we do. But if we are not doing anything, that means you are not trusting the Lord, and that will cause you to stumble along the way. Because if you have not seen God's mighty work in your life, when something hits you, you have nothing to trust and nothing to have faith in, because you have never seen it. So continue to seek His way by serving the Lord. From verse 23. O Lord, O love the Lord, O you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. And you who hope in the Lord, all you who hope in the Lord. So we need to learn to trust this invisible God in everything we do. That is the lesson from this Psalm of David.